Hebrews chapter 2 tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. And I do want to say it is a delight and joy to be here. And if you're visiting for the first time, we want you to know we're so grateful that you've come tonight. And if you leave hungry tonight, it is your fault. What a spread, man. I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful abundance of food, all types of food. See, that's the problem. I like all the food. It's all, it doesn't matter what country it's from. It's just good. And what a great, great time, a great crowd. And it is a delight for me to be here, truly a privilege for me to be a part of this conference. And I was just so moved seeing all the different groups here, all the different lands, and so glad to be here tonight. Look, if you would, with me in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, God's holy word says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Now, I want you to look there, if you would, in the very first part, those three words, "so great salvation." Would you say the words with me? "So great salvation." Salvation is great. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for the sins of mankind. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions are forgiven and washed away. And that is great news. That's why the gospel is called the good news. And I want to ask four questions tonight, and I promise I'll not be long. First of all, let me ask the question, if I may, what is salvation? What is salvation? Let me say that salvation is an experience between an individual and the Lord. It's a spiritual awakening between an individual and the Lord. And salvation is simply that. It's this experience. And if you have not had that spiritual awakening, if you have not had that divine appointment in your life where God has revealed himself to you and he has demonstrated his love for you and he has given you and desires for you to have this gift of salvation, he wants you to receive that tonight. He wants you to know, listen to me, he wants you to know that you, my dear friend, can go to heaven. And you can know heaven's your home on this side of eternity. Salvation is an experience between an individual and the Lord. Let me say, salvation involves an expression of our faith in Christ. You see, salvation's not what I do or what I accomplish or how good I am. My salvation and our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who paid for our penalty. He is our advocate. He became the propitiation. He appeases the wrath of God towards our sin. And it's through him that we are healed. Through his stripes, we are healed. So salvation, it's an experience between an individual and the Lord. Salvation, it involves an expression of our faith in Christ, the finished work of Christ in Calvary. And then salvation means an expectation of what the Lord has in store for us in the future. Our sins are gone, our sins are forgiven, and we have a heavenly home. Now, two thoughts here. Let me tell you what they are. Number one, absolute dependence on what God has done equals salvation. And absolute dependence on what God has said equals assurance. So, what is salvation? It's an experience between the individual and the Lord. It's an expression of our faith, and it is an expectation that the Lord has given us a future in heaven. Now, second question, what are the evidences of real Bible salvation? A lot of people talk about salvation, but what are the evidences of it? Well, we find this in Psalm 40, this wonderful psalm. In Psalm 40, first of all, there has to be a realization. We have to realize our condition. In Psalm 40, verse 1, the Bible says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." We need to cry out to the Lord and realize our condition before the Lord. He says in verse 2 of Psalm 40, "He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." So there has to be a realization of our condition. We must cry out to the God of salvation. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's not salvation in any other. Listen to me. It's not Jesus and something. It's Jesus alone and Jesus enough for salvation. And we see here that this man, he realized he was in trouble. He cried out to the Lord. The Lord heard his cry and the Lord gave him the security of heaven, and he is now saved. Then notice the real evidences of Bible salvation in Psalm 40. First of all, he's had a new song in his heart in verse 3. And he's put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. He has a new testimony that others can see. In verse 3 it says, many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. He has this new trust that's completely in the Lord. In verse 5, blessed is a man that maketh the Lord his trust. It's a new trust through salvation. He has this acknowledgement of the blessings of God in verse 5 of Psalm 40. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Let me tell you, the blessings of God, count your blessings, name them one, they're more than what can be numbered. We see that there's an understanding of God's will, and not just the understanding of God's will, but with salvation, there's the delight to do his will in verse 8 of Psalm 40. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We see that he has an open verbal witness about salvation in verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. And then we see that there's a brokenness over sin. Now when he sins and when he falls, he pleads for forgiveness in verse 12 and verse 13. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. He says in verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to thy help. We see these, what salvation is. And we see the true evidences of salvation. But in our text in Hebrews 2 verse 3, the Bible says, how shall we escape so if we neglect so great salvation? Why is God's salvation so great? Let me tell you, and we'll be done. Number one, let me say God's salvation is so great because we didn't do anything to earn it. None of us deserve heaven. None of us have earned salvation. You see, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is all of God and none of man. You don't come, you're not saved because you've joined the church, not this church or not any other church. You're not saved because you've been baptized. You're not saved because you've housed the homeless and you've clothed the needy and you've fed the hungry. You see, we need a Savior who can eradicate our sin. If we've done nothing but told one lie, on this side, we can't, it's not our good's going to outweigh our bad. That's got nothing to do with it. Listen, we can't try to measure our sin and balance our sin. We need our sin eradicated. We need it washed away. And the only way that happens is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice that there's nothing, that we did nothing in order to earn it, not by works of righteousness. Salvation is all of God. It's none of man. We cannot earn it. We cannot purchase salvation. We do not deserve salvation. We simply accept it. You see, it's God's plan. He tells us in Philippians 3, verse 19, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We're told in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're reminded in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God's salvation is so great salvation because we did nothing to earn it. What a wonderful gift it is. What a wonderful thing to know. And I want you to know, dear friend, I've not always understood that, but I remember just in my youth how I knew that I needed something. And I wanted to be good, and I've tried to be good. And that many nights I'd lay my head down on my pillow and I thought, you know, you're probably okay. You're probably all right. You'll probably be okay. But there's other times that the day didn't go quite as fair. And it was all this performance-based salvation. It's on my performance. And I thought, surely, Rick, you're going to hell tonight if you were to die. No Christian would think that. No Christian would do that. But I'm grateful to tell you tonight that, listen, it's not a salvation that we earn. It's not a salvation that we work for. It is so great salvation because we did nothing to attain it, to earn it. It's been given to us by the blood of Jesus Christ as a gift. God's great salvation, it's so great because we did nothing to earn it. And secondly, let me say, God's salvation is so great because we cannot do anything to lose it after we receive it. Isn't that wonderful? I'm getting of that age where I lose things. The other day, I couldn't find my keys. Doesn't it aggravate you when you can't find your keys? And I looked everywhere trying to find my keys, and I was looking here and I'm looking there, and I have four or five places there. Some of you, you're relating with me. I see it out there. And I told my wife, Debbie, over here, I said, Debbie, help me find my keys. I can't find my keys anywhere. And so she's looking everywhere. We're looking all the house for my keys. We got somewhere we got to be. We got some people we got to meet. And I'm just looking everywhere. And I thought, I don't know where those keys went to. And I went like this, and they're in my pocket. It's not that funny. My wife's in the back of the house looking for my keys. I took them out and I threw them on the kitchen table. I said, they're on the kitchen table. And she, what? I thought I looked there. I said, well, they're on the kitchen table. I didn't tell her I've just put them there. She's just finding that out tonight. I hate losing things. Can I tell you that salvation is so great. And God's salvation is so great because we can't do anything to lose it after we receive it. In John chapter 10, verse 28 and verse 29, the Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let me tell you something. When I cried out to God for salvation, not only did he forgive me, listen, it's so great salvation because I didn't do anything to earn it, but listen, it's so great salvation. I can't do anything to lose it. I'm in the hand of God tonight. Not only am I in the hand of God, I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm one of the fingers on the hand. Do you have that? What is salvation? Do you have that? What are the evidences of salvation? And then why is salvation so great? We can't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to lose it. Thirdly, let me say, God's so great salvation is great because we can't do anything to improve upon it. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look what he says in verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The Bible says that we are complete in Christ. This means there's nothing more to be added. The other day, I think Brother Stephen Van Gelder was talking about in the song, It Is Finished. It's the Greek word tetelestai. I mean, it's finished. It's one Greek word. But listen, when Jesus cried on the cross, tetelestai, it's finished. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. Praise God for this. We cannot do anything to improve upon it. All the time, we have these infomercials. I got a pastor friend who listens to every one of those things. He's a great preacher. He's a great man. He preaches all over the country. He's a dear brother. But he is, I mean, he listens to these information, he orders everything off that stuff. And they always say new and improved. He ordered a belt to help you lose weight. I wish there was such a thing. I'd buy two of them. Of course, they'll ship you two. If you order now for the price of one, just pay shipping and tax and you know all this other. We'll send you two today. I don't need two of them. I just need one of them. And my friend, Brother Mike, he got this belt and it has electric stuff to it and it's supposed to, you turn it and it has batteries in it and it's supposed to, you know, tense your core and work your core. And I mean, you're supposed to get up in the morning, just shake the fat off the sheets. I mean, it just falls off of you while you're sleeping, you know. And it has different levels to turn that on. You know, like, you know, wimpy, you know, strong, you know, muscle man, you know, fanatic. Insanity, it has all these different levels. So I'm not making this up. This is, I'm telling you the truth. This is unbelievable. He turned it all the way over and cracked his rib. New and improved. Salvation is great. Because there's not anything we can improve upon it. There's nothing we can improve on God's salvation. It means, the Bible tells us clearly that in Him dwelleth all the fullness. The Bible tells us clearly that and ye are complete in Him. All that we are as a child of God, all that we are as Christians, all that we receive, the filling of the Holy Ghost and a quality life, an abundant life here and an eternal life and in heaven. Hey, we'll be walking on up there what people are fighting for down here. And there's walls of jaspers and there's streets of gold. And it's a place where there's no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness, no more sin. Listen, it's a wonderful place and it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that there's nothing to be added. When we have Jesus Christ, we have all that there is to have. Why is it so great salvation? We didn't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to lose it. By the way, if we had earned it, we might be able to lose it, but because God's so great salvation is all of God, there's nothing I can do to lose it. We didn't do anything to improve upon it. And then let me say, God's great salvation is so great because whoever wants it can have it. Yeah. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever, that means people in Venezuela, that means people in Brazil. That means people in Australia. That means the beloved people in Mexico. That means people in China. That means people in Wisconsin. And it certainly means people in Tennessee. Whosoever. You see, this is not some kind of exclusive membership. This is not a Sam's or a Costco. You've got to have a special club card to get in. Let me tell you something. It's for whosoever. All we must do is realize our need. Understand that Christ paid for your salvation. Salvation from sin. Salvation from the penalty of sin, which is a devil's hell. Christ paid for that penalty. And we must ask Him to show us our need tonight. And we must ask Him to be our Savior tonight. The fourth question, and I'm done. Have you received this so great salvation? Oh, I tell you, nothing has ever changed my life than when I received Jesus Christ. That's what some of you are missing tonight. I'm talking to to good people. I'm talking to people who will take the shirt off their back and help you. I'm talking to people who love their children. I'm talking to people who are honest and are fair and decent and hardworking. But listen to me. Your need is Jesus Christ. You see, when you receive God's so great salvation, you listening? When you receive God's so great salvation, you receive a great life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You receive a new standing or a great standing. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You receive a great mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. When you receive so great salvation, you receive a great family. But ye are received of the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You receive a great future. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, although God created man without help, he will not save man without man's consent. Isn't that your need tonight? You know, all through the house, there are some that are here, and you need to realize your need. Your need's not more money. Your need's not more time. Your need's not something about the family. Your need is Jesus Christ, because he has and he offers freely so great salvation. Would you stand with me? One sad verse in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 20, the Bible says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. What a sad thing. There are people all through the world. I've been to China many times, and there in China, listen, Buddhism has failed them, and communism has failed them. And they're empty and they're hollow inside. You see it through their eyes, especially in the older folks. They have no hope. They have no future until they meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church in China, the churches in China are thriving as they are all around the world. And listen to me, friend, and if you're going to thrive like that, you must realize your need of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not easy. It wasn't easy 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ stretched out his arms and they put the nails in his hands and in his feet, and he died on the cross for the sins of the world. But salvation is simple as the ABCs. A, acknowledge or admit your sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. B, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. When the Philippian jailer came in to Paul and Silas and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe. And then the object of their faith was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then C, call. All tonight, call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin and saved to Jesus Christ and the future of a heavenly home. That's what God wanted you to hear tonight. This is not coincidence that you are here, that I'm here. God's assembled us together with great food and great fellowship and great respect for different nations. But the primary purpose tonight is that you realize your need of Jesus Christ. Now, what's going to happen just in a moment, the instruments are going to begin to play. And it's called an invitation. We're inviting you to come and receive this so great salvation. To come with your burden of your sin, to come and acknowledge your sin, to come to God and to realize that salvation is a free gift through the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive that gift and call upon his name to have your sins washed away. That's God's will for you. He came not to live on this earth. He came to die seeking to save the lost. Will you come? We invite you to come just any moment. We'll have people here. I know you won't know what to do. You don't know. We're not asking you to join the church tonight. We're not asking you to be baptized tonight. We're not asking anything of you at all. We're asking, won't you come and let us take the word of God and show you how you can receive God's so great salvation tonight and leave here a believer and knowing heaven's your home. Father, we look to you. We know no man comes to God without the Spirit drawing him. And Holy Spirit, we turn to you. I think of those fathers that are here tonight. How can they share with their sons and their daughters freedom and victory from sin unless they know Jesus Christ? How can we pillow our head at night and not wonder where we'll end up in the future or in eternity without making this decision? Tonight, Lord, help us become as little children, for you tell us, except you become as a little child, you're not entered into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to come tonight. In this invitation, as we extend the invitation, may there be many who will come and say, tell me more about this so great salvation. Tell me how I can receive this so great salvation. Tell me how I can know all my sins are washed away and heaven's my home for all eternity. Do a work this evening. In thy name I pray. Amen.